podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
Wild scenes of road rage come out of the Gold Coast. And it's, I mean, it's...
Not the Goldie. Everyone's so relaxed
Goldie.
There.
Goldie?
No, never, never.
I could play the audio to you, but look, there's not a heap in it. It's not great quality, and also there's a bit of swearing.
So okay, yeah.
I'm just going to tell you what happened. Right? So aspiring Paralympian, Natalie Alice Shaw, she's 22. She's driving her red Audi SUV down a Gold Coast street in July last year, but it's only come out now.
Okay.
All right. So she's had an altercation with a woman who claimed she was driving the wrong way. Now, Queensland is great for one-way streets, but that's more of a Brisbane thing.
No, the Goldie has it too. It does, yeah.
Anyway.
It's really annoying.
So, Nine News ran this story last night. Shout out to them. They've got CCTV footage because Natalie's driven through a drive-through. So this woman's like had a go at her, had a car, and then Natalie's pulled into the drive-through.
Okay.
Now, did Natalie go... I know I'm not supposed to be driving this way down this street, but it's the quickest way for me to get into the drive-through entrance. You know, sometimes you have to go around to get to the drive-through.
And right. You're like, no one's around.
Right, that. I'm just going to go. And I'm just postulating that could have been what's happened. Anyway, the woman's taken sort of umbrage on this, and so has when Natalie's been in the drive-through. She's confronted her. She's parked her car and she's gotten out. She's like,
so when you say drive through, you mean like a coffee or a fast food place or something?
Yeah, okay, yeah. So she's pulled in to like get something.
Yeah.
After this woman's abused her, and this woman's gone, oh, she's stopping. This will be a good opportunity for just a little follow up chat.
Oh God, no.
So she's
not an easy getaway for in a drive through.
No, you can't. You're stuck there. So she's stormed in and goes immediately to open the passenger side door.
Excuse me.
Absolutely not.
No. Fortunately, that's why I keep my doors locked all times.
Natalie's got her doors locked. And so then she starts having a go at her through the glass. What are you doing, your dog?
Oh, my God.
And then stands in front of the car. And so Natalie's like, well, what am I going to do? She starts panicking, as you would panic. You always wonder what you do in a situation like that.
Yeah.
Right? But so she starts driving and this woman starts shuffling backwards because she's standing in front of the car. You're going to run me over? And so Natalie's like, yep. And, like, starts driving, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Not super fast because, again, she's in the drive-thru, right? And then because she's driving, this woman's stepping backwards, this woman goes, all right, fine, and, like just lies with her stomach on the bonnet.
Jumps on the front of her car in the drive-thru.
This is a little Audi hatch, right? So the bonnet is not huge.
What is happening?
Right, and so she's sort of off on the passenger side and hanging on to where the windscreen wiper is, the lip of the bonnet, right, and has her feet on the ground.
Oh, okay.
But it still has, like, her body half on the bonnet, right? And so Natalie's like, oh, this is crazy. I'm just going to try and get her to let go. So starts driving and out onto the motorway and gets up to, like, 60 k's an hour.
And she's still on there.
And in the footage, you can see the woman hanging on, right, and still barking at her, still calling her a dog and stuff. And then they go on 60, and then the footage goes, has her going, are you going to slow down now or what? And Natalie's like, no. And so she starts to lose her grip, and then... You can see just her hands
hanging,
and then her hands go, and she comes off the car.
Is this dash cam
footage from inside the car?
Oh, God.
So it goes from being, like, it's quite scary to being a little bit sad because she's just hanging on by her hands, and then they're gone, and you're like, oh, my
Hang
God.
Hang in there, baby.
What happened? What happened?
And this is all because she noticed someone going the wrong way in a drive-thru.
Yeah.
That's insane. I'm surprised she didn't go the windscreen wipers first or, like, you know, start spraying the water.
Yeah, true. That's a classic. That is a classic option.
Straight on the water.
Southport Magistrates Court gave Natalie 6 months no driving because operating a motor vehicle dangerously.
Oh, nah. Appeal.
World's gone mad.
Appeal.
World's gone mad. Woke. Woke. Do you think
I would appeal that straight away.
She's hanging on. Like, she could have let go before it got up. When
100%.
When she started feeling it accelerating, going, oh, this getting a bit serious, I'm getting out of here. Yeah. No, she hangs on.
What was she supposed to do? Sit there
yeah.
and wait for the staff to come out of the drive? If you could get off the front of the person's vehicle,
yeah.
We would give you a nice coffee.
Like a 15-year-old kid. If I had a girlfriend, she'd kill me.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
Right now, I want to chat about your nose and a big old stink that's getting around. Now, when it comes to certain types of plants, I have had history. When I was younger growing up, I used to be allergic to a lot of plants. And then I had to do a whole bunch of tests and stuff, and they never quite knew what I was allergic to.
Like rolling down grassy hills? I think I still get itchy from that.
Yeah,
I haven't tried it for a while.
Grass, certain plants. There's a plant, it's called Koprivi. That's a Macedonian
word.
It's like stinging nettle.
Oh, okay. And you're allergic to that. It doesn't feel good on your skin.
No,
that's
it doesn't.
Weird.
I know. Bizarre. But I want to talk smells.
Yeah.
Plant smells. Now, there's a certain plant that smells, and I'm talking about this one, around springtime.
Yeah.
You get it? It's like it's an ornamental pear.
Yeah, I know where you're going with
this. Yeah, yeah. But it smells like bleach, you could say.
Okay.
And you're like, what's that? What's that weird?
Like it's bean sprouty sort of arrangement.
It's like, yeah, it's like there's something sprouted. I'm not talking about that one. Oh. And I'm not talking,
about that one.
I'm not talking about the corpse flower. Remember the corpse flower?
Yeah.
Our mate in 2024, that was huge down at the Geelong Botanic Gardens.
It felt like last year.
I know. The big old corpse flower that just stunk out and people were lining up 24 hours a day to see the big stinky flower.
To get a whiff, yeah.
Well, how good is it for the Geelong Botanic Gardens? Because they're like, guys, we're stinking it up again.
What?
There's a stink around town.
Yeah.
And we think that it might be due to our ginkgo biloba.
Oh, the old ginkgo.
Right? And I'm like, hang on a minute. Aren't we sold supplements for the old ginkgo biloba? Is that the same? It was like Palai. I thought it was ginkgo biloba. Obviously not.
No, she's a singer.
So there is this giant ginkgo biloba that they have at the Geelong Botanic Gardens. And it's fruiting and it smells.
Really?
Do you want to guess the smell? What do you think it'd smell like?
Ginkgo biloba. Okay, what a vitamin.
It's unforgettable, they're saying. It smells unforgettable.
Does it translate to vitamins, you know? Like,
let me give you a bit of a rundown of it. Planted in 1859, it's the largest ginkgo in Victoria. See, I thought you said you had the largest one in Victoria. Possibly all of Australia it could be. Its heritage and its rare aerial roots help it thrive.
Okay.
I thought you. Okay. The fan-shaped leaves of the ginkgo have inspired jewellery, fabrics and art, and its fruit, called a droopy. Looks like an apricot and has been used for centuries for traditional medicine.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll find this living treasure near the main northern lawn of the gardens. Fruiting is expected to continue through late April, so catch a glimpse and a whiff before the end of the season. Your nose says
vomit.
No.
Doesn't smell like vomit?
Doesn't smell like vomit,
not
but it kind of does in an Italian way.
Oh, like bolognese.
No, well, what do you put on bolognese that smells like vomit?
Parmesan.
Yes, a very strong cheese.
Oh.
This one smells like a very strong cheese. So if you're smelling something that is cheesy around town.
Yeah, it's not me.
It's not Tom. It's the ginkgo biloba.
Droopies.
And he's droopies.
It's their radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
There is a parasite that is affecting bees, I imagine around Australia, but certainly around Geelong, the Surf Coast and the Bellarine. So we thought we'd get our bee expert on to tell us about it.
Mm.
Some people refer to him as the Benson Boone of bees.
Oh, do they? Or is it just you?
I just made that up.
I think you just like alliteration.
And also, he's got a touch of the Benny Boons to him.
Does
Coastal
he?
Nectar Zone. It's a compliment. It's Tom, the bee guy. How are you going, Tom?
Hey, guys. How are my two favourite presenters?
Hey.
Oh,
see, likes it.
He
it's
likes
a compliment.
It. He likes
it's a
it. Beekeeper.
Maybe I should say honey addicts.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Buzzer, buzz, buzz. Anyway, beekeeper Tom, well, there's a lot of stuff that's been going around about this Varroa parasite, and it sounds a little bit concerning. Is it in Geelong at the moment?
Yeah, so it's been it's quite a serious a parasitic mite that has arrived to the Geelong and Surf Coast area. It has quite an intense name. It's actually called the Varroa destructor mite.
WWE, yeah. Anyone? It's like what's his entrance song?
It sadly arrived into Australia in 2022 up in Newcastle in New South Wales, and it's slowly been making havoc for beekeepers and bees all up the east coast. And unfortunately, it's now arrived to the Geelong region.
Did someone bring it in, like on a plane? Whoever, who did that, or did it just fly over?
One bee, just a long flight.
I think what might have happened was the mite. Obviously, when they're inside the beehive, sometimes beehives are moved to follow different floral sources by the beekeeper. And unfortunately, the Varroa has sort of jumped and got a free ride all around Australia, and that's what's causing it to spread a lot quicker than we sort of expected.
Okay.
But there are some things we can do. If there's beekeepers in Geelong that are listening, or if you know a beekeeper, we're really recommending to really monitor your hives, your beehives at the moment. A great resource is the Geelong Beekeeping Club. They're sort of giving heaps of information about how to treat for the mite, how to check for it, what you can do. And I think they're going to be a really good resource moving forward, because things are sort of changing really quickly. Like, areas that don't have it will get it really quickly. So it's good to just be on the pulse of, what's happening.
Probably tell your bees not to talk to strangers too.
Hide your bees away.
Yeah. I feel like the beekeeping club seems like a really...
super cute.
Yeah, love super it. Cute. Love this as a group.
I love it.
Is this the kind of club that people can find out information about becoming a beekeeper themselves? It's not just specifically for people already in the industry, is it?
Yeah, it's for a big range of beekeepers, whether you're small scale, whether you have one hive or you want to start beekeeping. It's really fun to attend. There's normally tea, and like someone brings along some like little cakes and stuff
filled with honey, I imagine. Even,
lots of honey. And there's like an ask a beekeeper section at the start, so you can come in and ask any questions about your hive, how to get started, what to do with things like the Varroa, and it's a really good resource for everybody.
Is the president of the club the Queen?
His name's Nathan, and I think he does refer to himself as the Queen.
Nice. Do you all get fully stung afterwards?
Too far.
What can we do to help bees in our area? Because I'm a big bee lover, and whenever I see one in my yard that is just kind of sitting there not doing anything, I always think, I'll give it a little bit of water. But I don't know. Am I doing the right thing?
You are. That's a great question, Loggy. So a great way to help bees is on really hot days, leaving out water for the bees, especially with some rocks, because bees actually can't swim. So giving them a safe place to land is a really great way to help bees. And then the other one is, just let your garden go a bit wild, throw in heaps of pollinator flower seeds, give like a little corner, a little untouched place in your garden. Let that grow with lots of flowers, and that's a really good way to help bees throughout the year.
Tom, you'd be so proud of me. I've ripped out a whole heap of pebbles and rocks and stuff and filled garden beds with flowers. And now there's just like little local bees are flying, like native bees flying around. Like there's some of the standard honey bees, but also some little native ones. And I'm like, g'day guys, g'day.
Oh, that's so nice.
Come and have some.
I'm very proud. That's awesome.
Thanks, mate.
They're all talking about your yard, Tom. Don't worry about
that. The bees are.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, but not too close, okay? So just little face masks or something for them. Keep them safe. I just assume when they're on the ground, on sort of the path or whatever, like I'll move them, I'll put them on a little leaf and move them somewhere safer, but I do assume they're cooked at that point. Is that generally the case there, Tom?
Yeah. Oh, so that's a really interesting one. So sometimes when the flowers bloom, after, say, a week of it being opening, and if there's a bit of rain, the nectar inside of flowers can sometimes go bad.
Mm.
And so the bees will still drink the nectar, and they almost get a little bit drunk, or they feel a bit sick. And then that's when you often see bees on the ground. They're either drinking water or they've had a little bit too much nectar that isn't quite right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lay down next to them. Yeah. That's the
name. We've all been there, okay. Rub their back, it's yeah. fine. Hey, Thomas, we could chat to you all day, but we do love what you do. Unfortunately, we can't chat to you all day, but we can get to coastalnectar.com.au for more information. And you're going to be out and about this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. I'm doing a bee education stand at the South Geelong Farmers Market. So if anyone wants to ask me any bee questions, if anyone wants to make some beeswax candles, we'll be there all morning.
Amazing. Yeah. Nice. All right, mate. Love your work. Thanks for having a chat to us on that website again. Coastalnectar.com.au. Take care of those bees. We'll catch up with you soon, Benson.
Thanks, guys. Save the bees, hey?
Yeah.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggie, say thanks.
Is it a hack or just doing a thing? You be the judge.
And give us a ring.
But don't call us. No. Just rhyme for the end of the song. Mm. So I want you to try this over the weekend. For anyone that has parked in a destination where you're like, did I lock the car? Did I not lock the car?
Yeah, I do that a lot.
And you've walked away from it and the buzzer isn't quite, the clicker isn't quite clicking to the car.
Mm.
And then you're like, oh, I've got to walk closer to the car to, you know, click it. Oh, yeah, there's the lights. All right, sweet. I'm off. Right?
Yeah.
What you do, I don't know how this works.
I know what you're about to say.
It's working for me at the moment because my key battery is low.
Yeah.
And as much as it's like, you've got low key battery, like I hate it, right? What you do is you put it underneath your chin and for some reason.
Yep, it blasts the signal through your brain, through your cranium, well, which sounds pretty healthy.
No, I think it's, I don't know what it is, but your body becomes some type of aerial and it goes further. The signal goes further and then you can lock your car from further away or get more battery out of it.
That is absolutely a thing.
Yes!
And I don't know why, but I do know for a fact that that is a thing.
Well, no, it's a hack. Because just doing a thing is, so you know how this works? So if it's a hack, it's a hack.
Yeah,
but
I guess
if it's just
a hack.
Doing a thing, that's just not doing anything.
I'm confirming that it is
it's a hack.
Hack. Yeah, it's absolutely.
A hack. Yeah.
I imagine it to be like, you know, how you can't see the radio waves and all of that. But you know when, you know those like lightning ball things that you put your hands on and your hair stands
on
it?
Yeah,
I imagine that's your head.
Ah.
And the signal's coming out like that.
Yeah.
So, again, pretty healthy stuff.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think it's different for my head and your head because my hair softens the blow, whereas anyway, ready for a big old weekend, mate,
fancy
because
it.
That is a hack and we're finished on a hack.
All right, have a great weekend. We'll catch you Monday.
Is it a hack or just doing a thing? You be the judge.
And give us a ring.
Tom and Loggie. That was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.